Today's podcast is brought to you by Daily Fantasy Nerd. Supercharge your daily fantasy sports research with their easy-to-use stats and tools. Start building winning lineups today. Visit goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd for your free trial. That's goingfortwo.com/dailyfantasynerd. Start winning today.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio. Sports, nerds, and pop culture.
Go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
They were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. All right, guys, this is goingfortwo.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, we have a special edition of the podcast today. We're going to have five experts today come on. We're going to do a NFL mock draft podcast in a little bit of a different way. About 2 weeks ago, I assigned each one of them five to six teams each, and they basically became the GM for each of those teams and created a first-round big board, if you will. So tonight, we're basically going to go pick by pick in the first round and do a live mock draft. When I say live, I mean that we haven't predetermined the picks. The experts don't know who's going to be picked, so their pick might be actually picked a week before they actually get to draft. So it'll make it a little bit interesting. Before we get into all that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce the panel members that we have tonight. The first panel member we have is a frequent guest of the show. He's been on here quite a few times talking some NBA, but he's also a pretty good guy with NFL as well. Matt Sandell of goingfortwo.com is going to be on the show tonight. Matt, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad, Jeff. Thanks for having me take over the fantastic franchises of the Browns and Jets.
Now, you were part of the famous, I know this, both all three of us are on here, but the famous Lost Podcast, which was a mock draft from last year that the audio got destroyed. So I'm glad you and Tim both came back on after we did basically an hour and a half podcast that went to nothing because the audio was destroyed. So hopefully tonight's audio goes much better than last year's.
We had some good takes on that, including that we thought that the Broncos were going to try and trade for Paxton Lynch, which actually did end up happening. But
exactly.
Yeah, it's a real bummer that one got lost. But all of our other picks were like, I think we got like the first overall pick right, and then like the Paxton Lynch, and that was about it.
All right, so next up we have on the show is Tim Strobel. He was also on that Lost podcast from last year. He comes to us from the DFS Roundtable. He comes on. He's a big Packers fan, so we gave him the Packers as his pick as one of his teams. Tim, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I got my beer handy here, so if I get a little drunk by the end of the podcast, you'll know what's going on.
Yeah, we should have a lot of fun.
Good deal. All right, next up we have a brand new member of the press coverage podcast here. We got Jason Ferguson. For the purposes of this podcast, he'll go by Ferguson because we have two Jasons on the podcast tonight. He comes at us from Blog Talk Radio, Momentum Shift. It's a show called The Study Hall with Frank and Jason. You can find their show at blogtalkradio.com/momentumshift every Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30. It's live. Or you can listen to it on demand right here on goingfortwo.com. Just go to goingfortwo.com/momentumshift and check out his show. Ferguson, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Thanks for calling me an expert. I'll send the money in the mail to you.
Awesome. All right. Our fourth member of the team also hails from the DFS Roundtable. He's been on the show a few times with his brother, twin brother, Gerson. Jason Aguirre, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I as well have my beer in handy. So, you know, some picks might go left and right, but I think I'll get it down.
All right. Good deal. I'm actually drinking a new beer. They had this shopping place nearby called Trader Joe's. I don't know if y'all have them in your area or not.
Yeah.
But they have They have these blind bags where basically you get a six pack of mixed beer that they picked. You know, their beer experts picked it. And I picked up a blind bag last week. So I'm drinking a beer called the Dirty Bastard. So we'll see how that goes. All right. And then last but not least, we have a returning member. He is also writes for goingfor2.com. Also writes for the Finn Fanatic. That's PHINPHANATIC.com. It's a Miami Dolphins blog. We have Eric Frostbutter on the line. How you doing, Eric?
Good, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you, man. Glad to have you. I know the last time we had you on, we were doing some preview stuff for the playoffs. So good to get you back on the show.
Yeah, that didn't go so well. Hopefully this does a little better.
Yeah. All right. So for the listeners out there, I'm going to go ahead and just go over sort of the premise and the rules of everything here, and then we'll get started. Obviously, we're going to go in the actual draft order right now. When your team is on the clock, they're just going to make their pick and give a brief synopsis of their pick and why they picked them. Obviously, once a player has been drafted, he can't be drafted again. So this is like a true draft. You know, once a player's off the board, it's off the board for good. And then there's no trades. We're just going to leave it as your pick, as your pick. I don't want to get too confusing with trades. Other than that, guys, you have any questions? If not, we can get started.
Let's do it.
Good to go.
All right. So first pick, obviously, is the Cleveland Browns. And Matt had the Cleveland Browns, as he mentioned earlier. Matt, who you got for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for giving me the the Browns and Jets. Like, their GMs are getting paid millions of dollars, and they still don't know what's going on. So you were just like, oh, let's have Matt do it. Like, it couldn't be as bad as what they're doing. So with my pick, this is basically the consensus around the league is that the Browns are just going to take the best available player on the board, and that is Myles Garrett, defensive lineman out of Texas A&M. Big, strong kid, as Mel Kiper would say. He's 6'4", ran a 4.463 at the combine, which is almost a whole second faster than Dolphins' Jarvis Landry. So he's extremely fast and just showed a lot of potential in college. And the Browns are just going basically – they need so many positions filled that and they have the most picks in this draft, so they're just going to be taking basically talent at every position. And on the offensive side, they got some solid weapons with Isaiah Crowell, and Corey Coleman is pretty good too, so they're definitely going to be going defense here with the first overall pick. And I think they're just going to come out within like a minute and say that they're taking Garrett with the first overall pick.
Good deal. No surprises there. All right. So the next up, we have my 49ers, Tim Strobel. Who you got my 49ers taken?
All right. Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think Myles Garrett is far and away the number one pick. If for whatever reason the Browns were not to take him, I would take him. Assuming he's gone, I'm taking defensive end Solomon Thomas out of Stanford. He's a junior defensive end. He's considered an elite athlete. He ran a 4.69 40-yard dash. He had over 30 reps on the bench press. He's overall bull rusher. He was a Pac-12 defensive player of the year. He works probably better as a 4-3 defensive end, but he can play in a 3-4. He's great in both pass and run stoppage. He had 8 sacks last year for the team and is considered an outstanding athlete with a relentless approach.
Good deal. So far, pretty chalky. Anybody got any comments so far on the two first picks?
No comment.
All right.
They basically went as expected.
As expected so far. All right, so with the third pick, the Chicago Bears, they take who, Ferguson?
The Bears are going to take safety from LSU, Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams just destroyed it at his pro day. He was clocked anywhere between a 4.33 and a 4.4, which eliminates the one question mark they had if he'd hold up in coverage. The consensus is he's one of the best leaders that's ever come out of LSU playing defense, and that's a storied program for defenders. The Bears have holes all over the place, and they add a tremendous leader and a tone setter to their defense.
Great pick. Yeah, I agree. That's definitely with the Bears. The Bears need a lot of stuff. Obviously, they're kind of like the other teams in this top sort of tier here where they don't have a lot on either side of the ball. But, yeah, I agree. What do you think of Jamal Adams, Matt?
I think it's a great pick. I'm, as a Vikings fan, I'm pumped that the Bears in are in our division because they are just awful, and they just paid Mike Glennon like $45 million. So it just keeps getting better from my perspective.
Good deal, good deal. All right, next up we got the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jaguars were owned by Jason Aguirre. Who you got the Jacksonville Jaguars taking?
I have Jonathan Allen. Some people are concerned about his shoulder issue, but I don't think it's as bad as they think it is. Pairing him next to Malik Jackson, who the Jaguars basically snatched from the former Broncos, or from the former Super Bowl Broncos, and I think with all that defensive talent, the Jaguars will—they'll be good. They'll be a lot better than last year.
Yeah, Jags were one of those sexy teams last year that were picked to sort of do something. You know, they had that great offense 2 years ago. And they spent a lot of money on their defense last year, both with draft picks and free agents. And people thought, okay, if that offense can be as good as it was the year before, this defense can, you know, sort of grow together and this will be a great team. Unfortunately, their offense took a back seat. I think the tools and the players are still there and it could be done. But yeah, I think defense is definitely the way that the Jags go. Tim, what do you think about that pick with the Jags?
Oh, I completely agree. I think Jonathan Allen, assuming everything's okay with him, is going to be a star player for them moving forward.
Definitely agree. All right.
One thing about that one, though, is the Jaguars still have the best second-string QB as their starter in Blake Bortles. He is not a starting-caliber quarterback in this league, I don't think. No way.
Yeah, that's definitely still up for debate. So, yeah, I agree. I think what we saw 2 years ago was a product of them constantly being down. And I think last year it was a little bit of a different story, and he definitely regressed a little bit. So they made some changes there, so maybe he can get it back. But yeah, it'll be tough to replicate what he did 2 years ago.
He single-handedly destroyed millions of fantasy football teams around the nation this year.
Mine included. Yeah. I actually have him in my dynasty league. He was my first quarterback taken. Luckily, I was able to make a trade mid-season, and I ended up picking up Derek Carr. So my season was saved a little bit. But I kept Bortles just in case he can get back to his prime status. But I got Derek Carr just in case.
Yeah, good call, Jeff.
Yeah, definitely. I pulled off a great trade there. All right, next up we have the Tennessee Titans. They got this pick from the Los Angeles Rams, and we have Eric with that pick. Who you got, Eric?
Oh, I think with Jamal Adams off the board, this actually becomes a little bit easier for the Titans. And they're going to take Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback from Ohio State. They could think about Malik Hooker as well from Ohio State here, but I believe with Hooker is injured and will be out 4 to 6 months with a torn labrum and hernia surgery. So I think they go Lattimore here. Tennessee was an overall pretty good defensive team, at least against the rush last year, but against the pass, they were awful, ranking 30th. And Lattimore, he's faced some hamstring injuries in the past, but he was fully healthy last season, and he dominated for Ohio State.
Good deal, good deal. I like that pick a lot. Jason, you got any comments on that pick? Jason Aguirre?
I think it's a good pick. It's a pick that, you know, the Titans really need a cornerback. And last year, that was kind of one of their weaker points. I mean, they had a decent pass rush. So I think with them beefing up their cornerbacks, it'll help them a lot. And they'll be better. I mean, that team, they were a playoff team all the way up until the last week when they got eliminated. So I think, I mean, they're going to be a lot better.
Agreed 100%. I know there's a couple players that are guys that are here that played daily fantasy. And I know whenever you had a guy, you know, going against the Tennessee Titans secondary, you know, you wanted to have those receivers in your lineup because, yeah, the Titans were pretty bad, you know, through the air. So, yeah, definitely I like that pick a lot. All right. So we're back around to Matt with the aforementioned New York Jets that he was so happy to have. Matt, who do you have the New York Jets taking?
I'm super glad that I thought maybe Tim would go rogue and have the 49ers take this guy, but and that would have just messed up everything that I had written about. But I think that the Jets are going to take a flyer on Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback out of North Carolina. The Jets had the fourth least points per game in the NFL last year.
their offense on paper might be one of the worst in the league besides the 49ers. I thought we said no insults, but no, the Jets offense, they have nobody. They just lost Brandon Marshall. Ryan Fitzpatrick was terrible last year, had 6 picks in one game. And I think, you know, in management, they always talk about you don't want to keep throwing money at something that's not working. Just cut the plan early and just cut your losses. Like the Jets have tried with Fitzpatrick. They drafted Christian Hackenberg last year. He was terrible. Bryce Petty was not good this year. And so, I mean, I know the Jets, they probably honestly won't take Trubisky, but I don't know. They have so many quarterbacks that they took in like the second and third round trying to replace and just be their next franchise quarterback. But unless you get like a Kirk Cousins or a Dak Prescott or a Russell Wilson, it has to be a first round pick as your quarterback for the future. It really has to be. And so I think they know that. And I think Mitchell Trubisky is probably the best option for him.
All right. So the first quarterback goes at pick number 6, different from the past couple of years, and they've gone pretty much 1 and 2 overall. I did want to ask the panel just one thing on that note with Matt mentioning Kirk Cousins. The year that they drafted Kirk Cousins, they actually drafted Robert Griffin III in the first round and got Kirk Cousins later in the rounds. If you're a team, let's say you're GMs, if you're a team that needs a quarterback, what is your thoughts on drafting more than one quarterback in a draft? I mean, it kind of, you know, you need a quarterback to win in this league. You might as well get that position shored up and just draft more than one like the Redskins did. And if they hadn't, they'd be screwed right now. I'll start with Matt. Matt, what do you think of drafting two quarterbacks in a draft, or more than two for that matter?
It's an interesting strategy for sure. And the Redskins are thanking their lucky stars that they they took Cousins in the fourth round, and they're about to pay him like $24 million this next year. I saw a stat of like teams who took the second overall or the second quarterback in the first round, and the names on that board, if you didn't have the first overall pick to draft a quarterback with or take the first quarterback in the first round, it's like Christian Ponder, Blaine Gabbert, Jay Cutler, Matt Leiner. Like, oh, there are just so many swing and misses in the first round when you don't get that first selection at quarterback. So I'm all for it, I guess. I mean, that's the most important position by far.
Tim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I'm a big believer in staying true to your board. And if your board says in the fourth round, third round, whatever the case may be, best player available is a quarterback and you already drafted one, I think that you have to make a serious consideration there. I agree with Matt. I think that the Jets have to really start looking toward their future, and they don't have their future quarterback. So I love the idea of taking Trubisky here.
Agreed. Ferguson, what are your thoughts on taking two quarterbacks?
I think it's hard enough to develop one quarterback. And if you're going to invest a valuable resource early in the first round, you need to focus on that guy and give him the support he needs. So you need to use that later pick to hopefully find another player that can help him.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good point, because, you know, teams that are up in this, obviously in this top part of the draft, are bad teams. They have a lot of holes. So if you're wasting two picks on a quarterback, that could set you back a little bit. I guess I'm of the mind of just sort of hedging your bets a little bit. Instead of putting all your stock into one guy, you have two guys there. And if the one guy doesn't live up to par, it kind of puts pressure on him too to perform. I mean, that pressure that Robert Griffin had when Kirk Cousins was drafted, you know, maybe it kind of ended up ruining his career because he couldn't take the pressure. But at the same time, if the Redskins hadn't done that, they'd be screwed right now. All right, so I got a little bit off topic. I want to get back onto the mock draft here. So let's see. We're up next with the now Los Angeles Chargers, and Tim has that team. Who are the Chargers taking this year?
I do. I think that they are indeed taking Malik Hooker, the safety out of Ohio State. The 21-year-old sophomore is 6'1", 206. He, as he mentioned previously, has a torn labrum, will be out for a while, could not participate in the scouting combine. Originally a basketball player, he transitioned to playing safety at Ohio State. He is very quick, decisive, has excellent body control, and is considered more of a free safety than a strong.
All right, yeah, good pick there. Chargers are one of those teams at the top here that, you know, they are pretty close to being a good team if they can just stop with the injuries. I mean, every year it seems like they're getting their offensive line is decimated. They've lost Keenan Allen 2 years in a row now. It just seems like they're just decimated with injuries. If they can just stay healthy, I think they can actually be a good team, and you know, they could take someone like Malik Hooker to actually give them a good boost defensively.
The Chargers were the only team to lose to the Browns, and because of that, they had to just rebrand their franchise and move to Los Angeles. Like they had to rebrand, and they could not be like, oh yeah, that's the San Diego Chargers. They were the one team who lost to the Browns last year. Yeah. Made them move their whole franchise.
They couldn't show their faces back there again. They had to get the hell out of town. All right. Next up on the board, we have the very disappointing Carolina Panthers from last year. We have Ferguson with that pick. Who are the Panthers taking in this draft?
Well, the Panthers, they have the perfect pick for them. Fits their style, everything about it. Running back Leonard Fournette out of LSU. I wanted to go somewhere else with this pick, but every time it just comes back to Fournette. He basically fits everything they do. He's 6 foot, 228 pounds now after his pro day. Power back, gives Cam Newton someone that he can hand the ball off to, keep that good defense fresh, and then allow them to play action and throw to those tall receivers on the outside.
Yeah, I love that pick. I think the Panthers, I mean, they really haven't had a sort of number one running back, I think, forever, it seems like. I mean, they had D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart battling there for a while. This year, you know, Stewart had a couple injuries, and they had some other guys filling in for him. I think Fournette shores that running back position up pretty good. What are your thoughts on that, Jason Aguirre?
I love it, man. Leonard Fournette will be a fantasy, like, the next AP, man, I'm telling you. That's what I see in Leonard Fournette. He's just a beast, and he'll fit that offense just fine. I mean, I think they have a lot of confidence in, like, how do I say this right without being rude? They have a lot of confidence because, like, they let go of a bunch of running backs. Like, I think Mike Tolbert left, and they let go of some players because I'm pretty sure they're going to draft Leonard Fournette if it falls to him or another running back, but with that pick, I think it'll be perfect for the Panthers. I mean, they're still there. They got it, but we'll see. I like it.
Good deal. All right. Well, you're actually next up now. You have the Cincinnati Bengals. Who are they taking?
The Bengals are going to go, and it's kind of funny because, like, it seems like all the Bengals players get in trouble. They're going to go with Reuben Foster. I like him a lot. Middle linebacker from Alabama. He made some noise in the combine with his hospital incident, but he does have a few character issues as well. But he's getting comparisons next to Ray Lewis. I mean, they say he's a great leader. I mean, he took Alabama to the national championship game. And, you know, they're saying that Alabama had an NFL defense, and I think he'll fit right in.
All right. So we got two LSU players going in the top 10 picks there. So good pick there. Let's go on to the Buffalo Bills. Eric, you got the Bills, who are also in your division with the Miami Dolphins. Who are the Bills taking?
The Bills definitely need a wide receiver. They could have gone quarterback here, but since they signed Tyrod Taylor to basically a one-year prove-it deal, they definitely need somebody opposite of Sammy Watkins now that Robert Woods is out of the picture. So they're going to go Mike Williams, wide receiver out of Clemson here.
All right. Good deal.
Where did Robert Woods end up going again?
Rams, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's right.
That sounds right. All right. So
and
Mike
Goodwin,
Williams.
Goodwin is out of there, too.
That's right. That's right. They lost both of them. Yep. That's right. So, yeah, they definitely need. And, of course, what's his name? Can't stay healthy. Sammy Watkins can't stay healthy. So who knows? Mike Williams could end up being the number one receiver there. All right. So
both of them are from Clemson too.
Oh, there you go. Yep, exactly. All right. With the 11th pick overall, we have the New Orleans Saints. And Tim, you got the Saints.
Absolutely. Well, much like the New Orleans Saints, who have a number of holes on defense, I think they need to draft the best player available. In this situation, I believe a player that I didn't think would be available is available, and that's going to be Derek Barnett, defensive end out of Tennessee. He showed exceptional quickness for his size at 259 pounds, he was running a 4.88 in the 40. I think that the Saints have too many holes on their defense to ignore a player of his caliber if available at number 11. I think that they need to hop on that as soon as possible.
Yeah, I agree. I think they need defense. I think the last few years they've set, you know, records as far as how bad their defense is. I think they've given up the most passing touchdowns. They've given up the most points, most yards. I mean, they're breaking records left and right with their defense. They needed to figure out something with that defense. Matt, what do you think about that pick?
I know we got a couple baseball guys in here who will get this reference, but the Saints are always the Coors Field of NFL DFS. They're all absolutely. You always just stack against the freaking Saints every time. And so I don't think they should be focusing on any offensive players. They had the best offense in the entire league last year in terms of yards per game at 480, I think it was. So they shouldn't be looking anywhere on offense. Great pick. I think that's the last couple picks, I think, are, unless there's some trades that come up, I think the last three picks that have been mentioned, Fournette to the Panthers, Barnett to the Saints, and Bills getting Mike Williams, I honestly think that's the exact order that things will happen at.
Yeah, I think you're mentioning I lost my train of thought here. I had something to comment about on the Saints, and I totally forgot what it was, so it'll come back to me. So let's go ahead and just bypass that and move on to our next pick here. We got the Cleveland Browns. This is their second first-round pick. They acquired this from the Philadelphia Eagles. So who are the Browns taking here, Matt?
This one's for the fans of Cleveland. I think that this will actually play out the way that the fans want it to. I think the Browns will take Deshaun Watson, QB, out of Clemson with this pick. They did it a couple years ago with Manziel. They're doing it for the fans. And after Manziel was drafted, they sold 1,500 season tickets the next day for it. So I think if he's still on the board, God knows they need a quarterback, and they let RG3 go too. And Cody Kessler is definitely not the answer. And I don't know why Watson, in terms of like analysis and the experts, they have like Deshaun Watson going like late first round. And I mean, nothing has told us that he's not going to be a great player in this league. He's 6'3", 220, ran a great 40-yard dash. And yeah, I think that the Browns are just going to throw the fans a bone who have stuck with this team for 15, 20 years of no playoff football. So I think they're going to take Watson with this pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick for the Browns. And they've had some bad history with quarterbacks for sure. Eric, what do you think about that pick?
Oh, I think it's a great pick for Cleveland. I did actually have them possibly, if not Cleveland, I had them going to Houston at 25. But, Watson, I mean, like you said, I mean, there's nothing that says he won't be a great player in this league. And he has championship material. That's more than anybody on Cleveland can say. So, I mean, it's going to take some time, but obviously that it's Cleveland that they have all the time in the world, so.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have the Arizona Cardinals, who were also had a disappointing season last year. Ferguson, who are the Cardinals taking this year?
The Cardinals, they've lost a lot of players in free agency. I think they're going to make the first surprise pick of the draft, and they're going to take Malik McDowell, the defensive tackle out of Michigan State, to try and replace Calais Campbell. He's a guy that has excellent pass rush ability from the D-tackle spot. He suffers from bouts of laziness, though, but I think he's the type of player that if he can put it together, he could be a really special pass rusher, especially with Chandler Jones outside of him in that defense.
Good deal, good deal. Tim, what's your thoughts on that pick?
I agree. I think that the Cardinals moving forward, obviously they have some questions about their offense moving forward, but you always want to build through the defense and especially through the trenches. So going out and getting a guy like Malik McDowell is a great pick for them for the future.
Good deal. All right. Next up we have
No one thinks they're going to go take a quarterback at this spot.
They might have taken Watson if he was there, but
yeah, it depends who comes off beforehand.
Mid, yeah.
But real quick, I looked at quarterbacks since I had the Cardinals pick, but Bruce Arians hates quarterbacks that don't play under center. He talked out against them a lot, how he hates that they don't know how to call an offense, they don't do that. And I don't think any of these top prospects have that thing that he looks for, that ability to command a huddle and to call plays at the line of scrimmage. They're all spread quarterbacks.
That's a good call. That's a really good call.
True.
All right. Next up, we have the Philadelphia Eagles, who are actually owned by Jason Aguirre, but I want to get Ferguson's comments on it as well, because he's actually an Eagles fan. Ferguson was sort of a fill-in last minute, so I couldn't give him his own team. But Jason Aguirre, who do you have going to the Eagles?
I think the Eagles, you know, they need a little help here and there. I know they definitely won't get a wide receiver because they already have enough of those. They're going to have to go with Christian McCaffrey, the running back out of Stanford. I think he'll fit their system just right. He can do special teams. He can catch. He can go out of the slot. And he can run the ball. I mean, just ignore his bench press. He had a weak bench press. But other than that, I think he'll be great with that system.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know a lot about college football, but I've heard that, you know, the comparisons of him and Darren Sproles, which, you know, the Eagles have used quite well over the past couple of years. So, yeah, I like that pick a lot. Jason, what are your thoughts on this pick? Or Ferguson, sorry.
Actually, I think he compares a lot to Brian Westbrook, who was a perfect fit in this type of offense that the Eagles run. The 10 bench press reps, that doesn't really mean much to me. That's something of all the things you can work on, that's easily fixable. He can get in the weight room. He's going to get bigger, so that'll go away. He's an excellent route runner. I've heard that he could be the best route runner in the entire draft, which gives the Eagles another weapon out of the backfield. And it seems to be a name that they've been linked to a lot.
Yeah, that's. I think every mock I've looked at pretty much has him going right here, so I think that's a really good call. And with the route running, too, I mean, that's become a huge thing with running backs. I remember, you know, back in the day, it was basically they had the dump offs, they had the catches in the flat. But now you got guys like Le'Veon Bell that actually line up as wide receiver and run like real, you know, receiver routes, you know, and sort of change the NFL a little bit. David Johnson, another one out there with Arizona, does that as well. So, yeah, I think in that mold of running backs that can sort of be very dynamic, I think McCaffrey fits in very well with the Eagles. All right. Next pick we got is the Colts, and we have Eric with the Colts. Who you got?
Based off of this draft, the Colts could actually go any way they really want to. The Colts need like every position under the sun, to be honest with you. They need a running back. They need some help on defense, even though they've done some of that in free agency thus far. They really need to help Andrew Luck with some offensive line, but I think they make the fan favorite pick here, and they go Dalvin Cook, running back from Florida State. They also need a receiver, and Cook is kind of that. He's going to be that fantasy player that we all love because he can catch the ball similar to like David Johnson. So, yeah, expect him to be a big fantasy pickup this year as well.
Yeah, good pick there. Dalvin Cook, Matt, what do you think about Dalvin Cook?
You know, a lot of people had concerns over his combine, and he wasn't the fastest or the strongest or anything. And I like this pick a lot. I mean, I don't have any complaints with it. The Colts, god dang, that franchise that franchise had 8 straight years of 12-4 football or better with Peyton Manning under center. In the early 2000s, and they only got 1 Super Bowl out of it. And I remember my Vikings went 11-5 with Brett Favre, and people in Minnesota were going nuts. And we just were not as spoiled as Colts fans who got 12-4 football for 8 straight years. So
exactly,
they got a lot of work to do. But Frank Gore's getting too old, so it's time to bring in a new running back.
Good deal. All right, we're about halfway through the mock draft here. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back on the other side with picks 16 through 32.
Do you need advice for your fantasy football team? How about your DraftKings or FanDuel lineup? GoingFor2.com has you covered. GoingFor2.com has exclusive content from some of the best fantasy writers in the industry, whose credentials include Bleacher Report, Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy Life. From advice columns to player ranks, GoingFor2.com has it all. Sign up for our newsletter to have all of our content sent to your inbox. Start winning today. Visit goingfor2.com because no one remembers the extra point.
smoke a split with a clip, but there's still no mountain pie, you know. Oh, wide enough to touch the naughty nappy.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're going to have picks 16 through 32. And kicking off the 16th pick, we have the Baltimore Ravens with Matt. Matt, who are the Ravens taking?
You know, I've got a couple names written down here, but it's got to be a wide receiver for sure. They just lost Steve Smith. Mike Wallace is not a number one wide receiver anymore, and it's got to be someone on offense. That offense is really, really bad all around, even at quarterback with Flacco. So I got a couple options here, but I have to pick one. So because he ran such a fast 40-yard dash, I think the Ravens, if he's available, will take John Ross, wide receiver out of Washington. A 4.22 is good enough to get him his own island, but he did not run them in Adidas sneakers, so they did not give him a freaking island. he ran them in Nike, so no island for John Ross, but he is going to get a big fat contract because his draft stock shot up after the combine because of that 4.22. And another guy who they may choose, it's definitely going to be a wide receiver. I don't even think there's going to be a question. Corey Davis out of Western Michigan might be available there. And his brother, or Joe Flacco's younger brother, actually was his quarterback at Western Michigan. So you never know, that may play into the fact in as a factor too, but I think John Ross goes to the Ravens.
All right. Good deal. Now you mentioned Mike Williams. I want to get your comments on that, 'cause I know, in the summertime before last season, you were kind of bashing him 'cause he played for your team. What did you think of his season this past year?
That's so funny that you just mentioned that, because, oh, you said Mike Williams when you meant Mike Wallace.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, Mike Wallace, sorry.
And that's funny because Mike Williams was a pick like a couple picks ago, so I was kind of confused there. But Mike Wallace, of course, he did better on another team than my Vikings, and he even bashed Teddy Bridgewater for saying that he couldn't play with a non-quarterback, then sort of bashed Bridgewater after that. So good luck to him, I guess. I mean, I rostered him last year one time, and he got a big, fat zero fantasy point. So
just to stick it to you one more time.
Yeah, he can screw you. Hold on yourself. Yeah, I won't forget, Mike.
All right. Next up, we've got the Washington Redskins, and Tim Strobel, you're up.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely think that if either one of the first two quarterbacks, Watson or Trubisky, are here, the Redskins take them, assuming the draft plays out like it has thus far. I have them taking Takarist McKinley, defensive end out of UCLA. I think Washington Redskins defense is just atrocious. They need help anywhere they can get it. And a young guy like McKinley, 21-year-old senior, 6'2", 250 pounds, a 4.59 in the 40. This guy has just relentless pursuit, always charging to the ball, great speed, long arms. He's compared somewhat to Tamba Hali. So he's definitely a potential playmaker for them on defense moving forward.
Yeah, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, even though I'm a 49ers fan. So I get a lot of the media press and all that. I hear all the radio stations talking, and it's pretty much guaranteed they're going to go defense here because their defense was pretty bad last year. Their offense has got some pretty good weapons. They lost a couple of receivers, but I think overall they're still going to be a decent offense. I definitely think that they need to go defense here. Eric, what are your thoughts on this pick?
Honestly, I'm hurt a little bit as a Dolphins fan. I was kind of hoping he'd fall there to 22, but I think it's a great pick for the Redskins. Their defense has been awful the past few years, while their offense keeps, you know, keeping them in game. So yeah, they definitely need help. He's a great pass rusher. So
good deal. All right, Eric, and you're next up. This is the Tennessee Titans' second first round pick. Who do you have the Titans taking?
Well, they got their corner at pick 5 that they wanted, so. Just as much as they need a corner, they need a wide receiver. So since the Ravens took John Ross, I believe they're going to take Corey Davis from Western Michigan. They have Rashard Matthews, who was a solid pickup for them last year in free agency. They also had Tajay Sharpe, who had his moments, but they need that dynamic player on offense.
All right. Good deal. Corey Davis. Tim, what's your thoughts on Corey Davis?
I agree with him. They have to go out and get some weapons. I think last year, like he said, they were playing Tajay Sharpe out there, and it just wasn't getting it done. So they absolutely need help there, and Davis is easily the best wide receiver left on the board.
All right. Now, someone else was going to chime in there. Was that you, Ferguson?
No, that was I was going to say there should be like seven offensive linemen taken by now, but we have zero that have been taken. So this is definitely not how it's going to go.
Yeah, I say you can tell that we're all big into fantasy football. We're taking the running backs, the receivers, the quarterbacks. Forget about defense. No one plays defense in fantasy football. All right, let's go. We'll see who's up next here. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we got Ferguson. Who you got?
Well, I actually was going to pick an offensive lineman here, but if the board actually falls this way, the Bucs are going to draft tight end O.J. Howard out of Alabama. He's a 6'6", 250-pound athletic freak. He ran a 4.51. They could put him in between DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans and make that offense super scary. I wanted to go Dalvin Cook and pair him with Jameis Winston, but taking out a weapon like O.J. Howard, that offense becomes one of the toughest in the league to stop.
Yeah, he could actually be what they thought. What's his name? I can't even think of his name now. Austin Seferian Jenkins. Yeah, that he can be what they thought he was going to be. Which, of course, he flamed out there, but. Yeah, they. I think a couple years ago, they had, of course, Mike Evans, and they had who's the other receiver they had there? I can't think of his name.
Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, they were like 6'5", 6'6", all of them. And someone mentioned a thing on ESPN about like how the Bucs would lead the league in rebounding because they had all tall guys. But yeah, I think he can be that player that the Bucs thought that they had in ASF. All right, next up, we've got the Denver Broncos, and Tim Strobel, you're up with the Broncos.
All right, well, much to Matt's chagrin, I am going to draft the first offensive lineman here. I am going to take Ryan Ramczyk, offensive tackle out of Wisconsin. The 23-year-old junior, 6'6", 310 pounds. He's extremely confident at tackle. He can play either side. His core body strength really allows him to block well in pass and run. He's probably the one tackle you can say could easily be a starter in his first year, and he was a first-team All-American.
All right, good deal. I'm having a hard time finding him here on my list here, but I'll get.
He's 18.
There we go. Yeah. Got him.
That's who I was going to take with the Bucs last pick, by the way, if O.J. Howard wasn't there.
Gotcha. All right, next up we have Jason Aguirre with the Lions. Who are the Lions taking?
With the Lions, they could go many ways if they wanted to. There's talk that they're looking at Joe Mixon, but I don't think he'll go in the first round. I think right here with the first round, they're going to go with Charles Harris, defensive end out of Missouri. He's a really consistent player. He has a good motor, and in the last 2 years, he's had over 16 sacks for the Missouri Tigers, and he's a very versatile player. He can go 3-4, he can go 4-3. I think he'll fit the Lions defense just perfect because the Lions defense came on towards the second half of the year, and they're doing well. So I think they'll be there, and I think this will help them upgrade their defense.
Good deal. What are your thoughts on that pick? Let's go with Ferguson. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think that's definitely a good pick for the Lions. Right? Sorry, I was clicking through my stuff here.
Oh, you're good.
yeah, caught me off guard. I apologize.
No problem.
Go ahead. Who was it again?
Lions, Charles Harris, defensive end.
I apologize. Yeah, Charles Harris. He's one of the best pass rushers in the draft. I think the Lions could go after him. I think Hassan Reddick is definitely someone they could put there next to answer on the other side of the defensive line. But Harris is definitely a riser that a lot of people are talking about.
Good deal. All right, next up we've got Eric with his very own Dolphins. Who do you have the Dolphins taking so far this year?
They could go a couple of ways here. And honestly, I know that a lot of mock drafts that have them going offensive line with Forrest Lamp, who's still out there. But if I'm the Dolphins and my big board shows, I got Hassan Reddick ahead of him. So the Dolphins definitely need help on their front seven. Their defense was a big issue last year. They definitely need to, they re-signed Kiko, they signed Lawrence Timmons, but they missed out on Zach Brown this free agency, and they still need help at linebacker. And I think Hassan Reddick, he checks all the marks.
All right, good deal. Hassan Reddick going to the Dolphins. Matt, what are your thoughts on that pick?
I actually am scrambling now because I wasn't prepared for that. I was going to take Reddick with the Giants pick. So the Giants green room right now is up in flames, and they're struggling with their heads cut off. So hopefully they'll get in a pick by the 23rd.
All right. So, yeah, you're next up on the clock, Giants. Who you got, Matt?
I'm going to stick with sort of defensive end and go Taco Charlton out of Michigan. He was really good as a backup, basically, for Michigan. I'm not sure why he was a backup, just because he's only 277 pounds, but he's 6'6". He's an athletic freak with versatile size. And he racked up almost 10 sacks as a backup for Michigan last year. And he's big on Kuiper's board. In terms of overall talent. So if he's still there, the Giants definitely need him. The Giants do not need anybody on offense unless like Fournette was there, which ain't going to happen. They could definitely use a running back, but the one problem they have is like, this is a very, very close team to being a Super Bowl caliber. Just the one thing that they just refuse to address is they still have Eli Manning at quarterback and they're not going to win a Super Bowl with this Eli Manning right now. But they have so many great pieces like Brandon Marshall and Odell and then Olivier Vernon, and they've got a solid defensive core for the most part. Landon Collins played incredible for him last year. So this is a Super Bowl team basically, but I don't know. They just refuse to look death in the face and say that Eli Manning is not going to be leading this team to another Super Bowl.
All right. I like his first name, Taco, and that's like a good football name right there, Taco. I know I grew up with a kid that actually was named – he was nicknamed Taco because of his football. He was a Spanish guy. His coach called him Taco, and the name just stuck. So all year, I still literally don't know his real first name. We just called him Taco all the time.
Poor guy.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Tim, what are your thoughts on Taco going to the Giants?
I completely agree with Matt. I think that – a few teams can develop defensive linemen, especially defensive ends, like the New York Giants. So I definitely think that's a good landing spot for him. They have a couple of guys on their team already, but he'll provide great depth and somebody that can, you know, look toward the future for them many years to come.
Good deal. All right. Next up, we have the Raiders. I didn't give their city name because I don't know what I'm supposed to call them this year. Are they still Oakland? Are they going to be Vegas? I don't know, but Jason Aguirre, you're actually a fan of this team. So who do you have the Raiders taking?
They'll still be called the Oakland Raiders for the next couple of years. And I think, you know, like with the way the offseason's going and everything, they have rumors, right, left and right. So this pick could go many ways. But to me, I think the Raiders will take Gerard Davis, linebacker out of Florida. This guy is he's kind of like a sideline-to-sideline player. He's a great run defender. And he does pretty good. I like him. I think he'll fit right in with Khalil Mack and Irvin. And he'll have his holes to make some plays. And I'm pretty excited about that pick. And I'm looking forward to seeing him fall to us. Or I was hoping that other players would fall, but you guys like picked up everybody from me, and I was like freaking out.
All right. So you had Gerard Davis, right, from Florida. That's who you had going to.
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking for the pick, and I had to scroll down quite a bit there. All right. Next up on the board, we have the Texans, who actually need a quarterback. But are they taking a quarterback here, Eric?
Unfortunately, they are. There's so many offensive linemen that the Texans could really take here. But we all thought that Tony Romo to the Texans was like a sure home run, and that just – CBS just outbid them somehow. So, I mean, they still need an offensive lineman, and they could do it here, but I think they try to get their quarterback of the future, and they go Patrick Mahomes II from Texas Tech.
All right. Good deal. Tim, what are your thoughts on that pick?
I agree. He's a hometown favorite. Everybody in Houston that I know is excited about possibly having them on their team. He has the best deep ball in the draft. Obviously, with the speed that they have on offense, they could definitely use a quarterback who can throw it deep. And I think that's a great. That would be a great pick for them.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. Next up, we have my most hated team as a 49ers fan, the Seattle Seahawks. Ferguson, who you got them taking?
The Seahawks would love if the draft falls this way. They're going to draft Forrest Lance. They've had lots of trouble. He's the offensive guard from Western Kentucky. They've had lots of trouble protecting Russell Wilson. They reached in the first round for a tackle last year, and this year they get Lance, who's going to move in the guard or possibly be a center if he can learn to snap the ball at the next level. And he'll definitely help shore up that offensive line for the next decade, probably.
Yeah, I agree. Watching that team and Russell Wilson, you know, constantly running around, running for his life, basically. You know, you got a quarterback like that, you want to protect him. I know he likes to scramble, but you don't want him running for his life. Jason Aguirre, what are your thoughts on that pick for the Seahawks?
It's a good pick. I really like the pick a lot. I mean, that's what they need. You just saw it last year. They really needed that. I mean, they need it bad. They need offensive line help. And with that guy, they'll get better. And, you know, they lost Max Unger, and they need more offensive line help more than anything right now, you know, especially with Russell Wilson there.
Agreed, 100%. All right, so you're actually next up on the board with the Kansas City Chiefs. Who you got the Chiefs taking?
Oh, you threw me off. I was doing my – I was looking at my notes.
Oh, my bad.
The Kansas City Chiefs, you know, I think they'll make a splash because they're pretty well set everywhere all around on their rosters, and they need to get a quarterback of the future, and I think this one will surprise everybody. And forgive me if I say it wrong, but DeShone Kizer out of Notre Dame, he's a really good quarterback. I think he gets a lot of crap because they say he's inaccurate, all this and that. But I think last year he played in like 4 hurricane games. I mean, like, it was like pouring rain and it was just bad weather, and he had to make plays, you know. And also, I forget the name of the coach for Notre Dame. Is it Kelly? Is that his name? I'm not sure, but he likes to throw the ball downfield. He likes to throw the ball downfield more than anything, and so it kind of makes the stats look bad. But I think he's a raw player, but if anybody can, you know, turn a good quarterback into a great quarterback, it's going to be Andy Reid.
That's a good pick there. Actually, I just want to, you know, forgive my ignorance here because, you know, I don't watch a lot of college football. But wasn't DeShone Kizer the number one rated quarterback overall, or am I remembering that incorrectly?
No, you're
right. I don't know. It could be the
That sounds about accurate. I've seen him up to about like number 3 in some mock drafts. So yeah.
Okay. I saw his name, and he's, you know, late in this first round here, and we've already drafted what, 3 quarterbacks, and I just seem to remember him being one of the, you know, the quarterbacks picked to be one of the more top quarterbacks, and just kind of surprised me that he fell this far to the Chiefs. But I agree 100%. I think being a 49ers fan in Alex Smith and his dink and dunk sort of mentality, don't turn the ball over, it's great. It gets you in the playoffs. You know, you don't turn the ball over, you play good defense, you're going to get into the playoffs. But it's not going to win you in the playoffs, which we've seen. I think the Chiefs have now lost a couple first-round, you know, matchups with Alex Smith at the helm, maybe even second-round matchups. But they haven't gotten very far with Alex Smith. We couldn't either. Just based on the fact that he won't take risks. So you need a guy that's going to sort of push the ball down the field. And if that quarterback is there, I think they definitely look that way. What are your thoughts on this pick, Ferguson?
DeShone Kizer definitely was the number one quarterback. I think in the preseason you saw a couple drafts where he was going there. Andy Reid, he does love quarterbacks. I think he likes Alex Smith, though. I don't know if he'll go there. He could. They could be a team that could be looking at a guy like Joe Mixon. They aren't against taking guys with character issues. Like last year, they had Tyreek Hill, and they could be looking at him to help Alex Smith in that offense.
Good call. All right, and you're actually next up with the Dallas Cowboys. So, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan, who are the Cowboys taking?
Yeah, this pick will really annoy me since I'm also a Michigan fan. But they're going to take Jabril Peppers, he's the linebacker, safety, corner out of Michigan. And that'll give them a really good playmaker on their defense. He's a guy that Harbaugh used more as an in-the-box linebacker type guy in college. But at the combine, he ran a 4.46. It looks like he has the athleticism to be a cover guy, and I think he could actually play next to Byron Jones and give them two really good safeties and really shore up that defense for a while and really piss me off.
All right, good deal. Good pick there. Can anybody find him on my sheet here? I can't seem to find him. What number he's at?
Should be like 14 or something up in the top. Oh, he's yeah, 14.
I got here we go. Jabril Peppers. Yeah, there we go. That's why I couldn't find him. I was all the way down the bottom of my list. All right. All right. Sorry about that. Great podcast etiquette there, talking about stuff offsite. All right. Next up, we've got Tim Strobel with his very own Packers. Huge Packers fan. Who you got, Tim?
Yeah, go Pack, go. Well, I really like that pick of Jabril Peppers for the Cowboys. I think, like he said, it'll match very well with Byron Jones, give them a great back end. As far as the back end of my Green Bay Packers, we gave up almost as much yards as anybody last year. We were just a total sieve for passing yards. We have to get better at cornerback. And for that reason, I am taking cornerback Marlon Humphrey out of Alabama. He's 6 foot tall. He's got 32 inch arms. He's got that ideal kind of body type and athletic traits that you're looking for at the cornerback position. He's very disciplined. He has fast feet, excellent acceleration, great balance. And the big thing is that he considered himself a real leader in the locker room. So I think that a lot of young guys in that secondary, they need a guy that they can rally around.
Good deal. Good deal. Eric, what are your thoughts on this pick? Marlon Humphrey, Alabama.
Oh, I think that's a great pick for the Packers. They definitely need some help in their secondary. Marlon Humphrey is actually a potential top 10 pick this year from Alabama. So, yeah, that's a great pickup for the Packers. They need help there.
Agreed, agreed. My wife is a huge, huge Packers fan. She probably wouldn't know that they need a cornerback. She probably didn't know what cornerback is, but she does know. She knows she's a Packers fan, so she'll learn that name if he ends up going there. So, yeah, good pick for the Pack there. All right, Matt, you've actually got two back-to-back picks here, just the way that the draft worked out with the teams that I gave everybody. So your first pick here is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who they taking?
I just wanted to comment. Tim, your Packers gave up, like, 45 fantasy points to Adam Thielen of my Vikings.
And yeah, they did.
Adam Thielen didn't even go to a D1 school in college, and he was able to put up 45 fantasy points on your secondary. So there's no way that the Packers are taking anybody on the offensive side of the ball for sure. But for the Steelers pick, again, like the Packers, their offense is basically a Pro Bowl team with A.B., Le'Veon Bell, and Big Ben, and their offensive line is fantastic. So I got them going cornerback / safety, just something in the secondary is their real weak point. Jerron Conley out of Ohio State, he ran a very fast 4.36 40. He's 6 feet, 195, so he's a little small, but I think he's obviously overshadowed by Marshawn Lattimore, but he was an excellent player in college, and he can also cover big wideouts. And he did have 26 tackles with 8 pass breakups and 4 interceptions. So I think that if he's available, the Steelers will probably take him.
Good deal. What are your thoughts on that pick, Ferguson?
He's a guy that's risen. Jumped up in the draft after the combine. Apparently, got a lot of people like him. He shows a lot on tape in that defense. Sometimes I worry about corners from the schools like that, even Humphrey from Alabama and Conley there that benefit from great pass rush. Another guy, Kevin King from Washington, the Steelers could go, but Conley definitely is a good fit in Pittsburgh.
Good deal. All right, Matt, you're up again with the Atlanta Falcons and their they're coming off their huge, blown lead in the Super Bowl. Who are the Falcons taking?
Much like the Steelers, they really don't need any help on offense at all. But you know what? Their offense is just fantastic. They have Tevin Coleman, who could be an RB1 for basically every team in the NFL. But I'm actually going to go offense still and give them an offensive tackle since there are still way too many on the board right now. I'm going to go Cam Robinson out of Alabama. It's pretty interesting. When we think of O-lines, we think of just big, huge bruisers, 350-pound guys. But the Atlanta Falcons made it to the Super Bowl with the smallest offensive line in football at about 310 pounds per player on their O-line. So I think they're going to beef it up a bit and go Cam Robinson. And, other than that, they might go King from Washington. That might be another popular pick because, I mean, obviously their offense is just fantastic. But, they have plenty of ways to go.
Good deal. Eric, what's your thoughts on Cam Robinson to the Falcons?
Oh, at this point of the draft, I mean, that's just great value. As Matt said, the Falcons offense is, dynamic. They went all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, they blew it, obviously. They do need help on defense, but there's a lot of places that Cam Robinson could have gone before them. So this is a great value spot here.
Agreed, 100%.
Our mock draft is way more fun than the actual draft is going to be. I don't want the fans to know that. Like, this is way more. This not going to be anything like what we have. It's going to be like six of the top 12 picks are going to be O-linemen or D-linemen, and then like, that's going to be it. But of course, we always play fantasy, so we're not thinking about O-linemen.
Exactly. They're not the sexy pick for sure. All right, we're at pick number 32. It's going to round out the draft here. We've got Tim Strobel with the second pick for the New Orleans Saints. Who are they taking?
All right, after taking defensive end Derek Barnett with pick number 11, they address their secondary. They take the hometown kid, Tre'Davious White, from LSU, cornerback. With a 4.47 40, he's shown the ability to play both inside and outside. He was all-team SEC, a real leader in the locker room, somebody that they can plug and play in the back there and know that they have a real game changer for years to come.
That is an excellent pick, and agreed, the Saints need a ton of help on the defensive side of things. Matt, what's your thoughts on this pick?
To be honest, I totally was not paying attention, and I didn't even hear it because all my picks are done, so I'm like, all right, good. I got a name out there, so I didn't mess up. And like,
Tre'Davious White, cornerback from LSU to the Saints. What do you think?
Gotcha. I didn't want to pull like my Vikings. Actually, a couple of years ago, missed the pick, or like they didn't get their pick in time, so they didn't get a pick in the first round at all. So I was just hoping that I didn't do that. That was my goal throughout this whole process. So. It sounds
all right.
Like you said, the Saints need a ton of help on defense, as always. But, at a certain point, it's not even the players that they have on defense. It's their schemes and they had, like, Rob Ryan, like, coaching them a couple years ago. It's like, Jesus Christ. At this point, like, it really doesn't matter who they take. They just need warm bodies on the defensive end.
Exactly. I agree 100%. All right. That wraps up the first round, man. I've had a lot of fun doing this. I want to go to the second round now if we could, but my podcast might go a little long. But definitely had a lot of fun doing this. Maybe we'll get y'all on again sometime after the drafts, and we'll kind of review, how the draft actually went. I'm sure, like you said, we're going to get more offensive linemen being drafted in this first round. But once again, guys, I wanted to thank you all for coming on. Just to recap for the listeners where you can find everybody, Matt Sandell from goingfor2.com. We've got Tim Strobel, the DFS Roundtable. If you go to Facebook, just Google DFS Roundtable, it should pop up. We've got Jason Ferguson, who went by Ferguson tonight. Thank you for doing that so we don't have any confusion with the names. You can find him at Blog Talk Radio /Momentum Shift or on demand at goingfor2/Momentum Shift. We got Jason Aguirre from the DFS Roundtable as well, whose twin brother's been here quite a bit. Gerson, big DFS player who just recently moved. He's in San Diego now, right, Jason?
Yeah, he is. He's just living it up over there.
Yeah, it's nice weather out there. It's big going from Utah to San Diego. I can imagine it's a little bit of a culture shock. And then we've got, Eric Frostbutter from goingfor2.com. You can find him also at finfanatic.com as well. Great podcast, guys. I loved having all of you on. This is a lot of fun. And like I said, I want to have you all on again, hopefully after the draft, and we'll talk about some of the stuff that happened in the draft.
Sounds good.
Yeah, man. Great time. Thank you for having us.
All right.
Yeah. Can't wait to see how many picks we got wrong.
Exactly. All right, guys. Good show.